Prophet Isaiah says these words. Listen to them. They will pass through the land hard-pressed and famished, and it will turn out that when they are hungry, they will be enraged and curse their king and their God as they face upward. Then they will look to the earth and behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be driven away into darkness. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who walk in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. The Advent season is filled with poetry from the prophet Isaiah. Tonight's text from Isaiah is no different. Many may know the words of this poem from Isaiah through Handel's Messiah. One man wrote when he was talking about this text, he said that when he reads this text, he hears the violins that introduces the song in Handel's Messiah. However you hear these words and you learn them, you need them. We all need them. We discover in these words that there are stated for us reasons for gloom. Reasons in which at times we are gloomy, we are downcast, we are depressed perhaps. But verse 1 of chapter 9 begins with a conjunction, and it tells us that we need to pay attention to something that came before it. And so we're drawn up to verses 21 and 22 of chapter 8, the concluding verses of that chapter, and we're introduced to the reason for the gloom that is facing God's people. It was not a good time for God's people. You may be able to relate to that tonight yourself. Maybe you are feeling gloom. You may have put on a good face throughout the season. You may have put on a good face just for tonight as well. But your good face is covering up the gloom. Perhaps it's the first Christmas without a loved one. Maybe you didn't get to go home for Christmas. Maybe financial concerns are keeping you from being a gift giver. Health concerns, depressions. Maybe you have actually resonated with the song Blue Christmas. Maybe not for the same circumstance, but it sounded kind of like your song this Christmas season. Isaiah doesn't linger long on gloom, though. We need to learn that from him, that we do not linger there. He proceeds quickly to describe hope. He writes that there will be no more gloom. Actually, he writes that things will be made glorious. We will go from gloom to glory because a great light will come. A great light will shine. The light will shine on the people. And the light will bring gladness. Have you ever been in the dark and then you had light? And you were thankful for the light and you know of the gladness that the light can bring? He writes that gladness will be found in the presence of God. Where are you looking for gladness? Are you trying to find it in God or somewhere else? He says that the gladness will be like the gladness of the harvest. If you have ever picked the harvest of a crop that you planted, you watered, you weeded, you have experienced the gladness of harvest. Perhaps the best definition of gladness on this night is the gladness that comes with open packages, both those received and those given. And Isaiah tells us that there is a reason for hope. That a reason exists for hope, and he actually tells us there's three of them. First is the defeat of the oppressor. When the oppressor is defeated, it brings hope. Second is the destruction of the weapons of oppression. When those are destroyed, it brings hope. Well, why will those things happen, though? Well, in the answer to that, he gives us the third reason for hope, the birth of a child. We're talking about defeating an oppressor and destroying the weapons of oppression. And the biggest reason for hope that the prophet Isaiah gives us is the birth of a child. Yes. The birth of a child. Yes. He says this about this child. The government will rest on the shoulders of this child. Ooh, that's kind of a gloomy thought, once again, doesn't it seem to be? Certainly if you're an American citizen and you know something about our government and the stalemate of our government and the bureaucracy of our governments, we're going to put all of that on a baby. What we'll put on this child is the one who will accept the burden of ruling. The burden of leading. The burden of providing what is good and better and best for his people. And he will rule everywhere for eternity. Now the child has some interesting names. Wonderful Counselor. He is the supernatural counselor. The people had been in gloom because of the poor decisions of King Ahaz. The new king will make the right decisions and will do the right things. A second name, Mighty God. He is God and He has all power. A third name, Eternal Father. He will have the best care and concern for those who are His, and that concern will be everlasting. It won't stop. It won't pause. No, it's going to continue forever. He also has this name, the name perhaps we need to hear the most tonight. Prince of Peace. His rule will bring about a society of peace. Sounds like that hasn't happened yet, has it? No, it hasn't. That's true. It has not happened on a national scale or a global scale, but there's a reason for it. It hasn't happened there because it has not happened in the hearts of people. You cannot bring peace to a global society, peace on a national level, if it has not happened on a personal scale. Peace describes personal fulfillment and well-being and harmony. It describes the individual being at peace with God. And until that happens, but as we look at this text tonight, it says that there needs to be a response from us. It tells us that we realize that when this child was born, a great light attended his birth. He tells us early on that we will have a great light and that the light will shine on them. And a great light attended the birth of this child, a star. This child later, as a grown man, would say, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Colossians 3:15 says to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ can only rule in your heart if you come to Christ. Have you come to Christ? Do you know Jesus? Not just the Jesus of the babe of a manger in Bethlehem. Not just that Jesus. Do you know the Jesus that was born as a babe in Bethlehem? Yes. But also was the Christ of the cross at Calvary. Do you know that Jesus? If you need peace in your life because your life is filled with gloom, the only way you're going to find peace is in Jesus. The only way the world's going to find peace is not because one army is finally going to beat all of the rest of them and then we'll have peace. No. Because at some point there will be discontent somewhere and there will be more battles and there will be more war. The only reason and the only way we can have peace is if everyone comes to the light, to the one who is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And if you have not done that, I invite you to give your life to Christ. The only gift that you will receive any Christmas that will give you hope and gladness is the gift that God has given, Jesus Christ. I offer to you to trust Jesus, to be your Savior, to accept Him, and to receive the gift God has given to you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Jesus.